You know, brother, a little over 35 years ago, I heard a man ask a very familiar question. Every time he spoke, he said, "Why are you here?" It seemed like these past few years, too many people never answered that question for themselves. Now think back to the time when we were drifting around in this world, just like everyone else. Did our lives seem to be frustrating and unproductive at times? Did we ever wonder why we were here and what life was all about? Did we have feelings that there should be something more to this life? Then one day, something happened. You picked up a magazine out of curiosity from a church you've never heard of before, and you begin to read it. And that magazine was called The Plain Truth. Or maybe, just maybe, it was when you heard a man's voice on the radio say, "Greetings, friends." And he began to talk about things you've always wondered about. Maybe it was a fellow co-worker who told you about what the Bible said and that eating a ham sandwich was wrong. Well, that's what happened to me. I was sitting underneath a rack eating a ham sandwich, and a worldwide Church of God member said, "You know that's wrong to eat that ham sandwich?" I said, "Oh, yeah?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Where?" You know, like I knew everything. And he told me, so I went to read it, and lo and behold, that was it. You don't eat a ham sandwich. You don't eat ham, period. No matter which way it was, each of us answered a calling and was placed into God's church. With this newfound knowledge that we somehow came to our attention, we were all excited and couldn't hardly wait to tell the whole world about what we were learning. We seized God's way of life with enthusiasm and passion, trying to apply and put to those new found principles into action in our lives. And I might add, anybody else that would listen to us, and what we had to tell them, even if it cost us our jobs, our friends, even our own family members. Does that sound familiar? Did something like that ever happen to you? If so, there's a term that is described for those newly found feelings that we all had on our minds when minds were first opened to the truth of God and began to do what God said. That term was called first love. But do you know, even for us, trying to jam what we found that was new and exciting down everyone's throat, to no avail, I might add, it was all worth it. I really think that was the first time God was trying to teach us a lesson, which was that we all had to figure out at one time in our life or another that we don't do the calling. God does. And the more we studied the scriptures, we began to understand God's word more clearly. We could hardly wait to be baptized and receive God's Holy Spirit. Now, for the first time, our lives seem to have meaning and purpose. But, and there always seems to be a but thrown in here sometimes, as the years have gone by since we were baptized, I think we all have to come to something to come to realize about ourselves. And that is, you are still you, I am still me, and our lives still have frustrations, distress, heartaches, and trials. For now, even the converted members of God's church, as converted members of God's church, some of us continue to have those trials. And some of those trials could be very demanding and very difficult to endure at times. We found out that God will not remove all those tests and trials, because vital lessons are learned when we go through those difficulties. Having faith when we go through those tests and trials is very important. They do help us grow in the way of God's life and how to use God's Spirit. Turn with me to 1 Peter 1. We'll pick it up in verse 4 through 7. 1 Peter 1, verses 4 through 7. Here they're telling us that we are begotten to a living hope by Jesus Christ through his resurrection from the dead. Verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. That's us. Who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by different trials. That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revealing of Jesus Christ. Jesus also told his disciples in Luke 16:10. Luke 16:10. He that is faithful which is in least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is also unjust also in much. God has intended that our lives be abundant and happy ones, but not necessarily full of wealth and possessions, things that we have, which are sometimes a good blessing. But one we're supposed to have is full of peace, love, joy, and happiness. Can we say that since the time that we were baptized and placed into God's church, our lives have been more content and happy? Can we say our lives have been blessed? Compared to the way of this world, I hope our answers would be yes. If we don't feel very blessed and happy after all these years that have passed by, would it be safe to say that maybe we just might be missing the boat somewhere, so to speak? I know for a fact, brethren, that this life that we've been called into hasn't been an easy one. This way of life takes faith and also takes works. God's people will have trials to face, and it will take faith and a lot of it to overcome whatever is before us. James 1, verse 2 and 3. James 1, verses 2 through 3. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter different trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. And let that endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. That scripture alone shows us that we shouldn't become unhappy, frustrated, because we go through these tests and trials. But you know, the basic human tendency is to see the negative side of almost everything. It doesn't really matter who you are. If people want to, they can always find something to be discouraged about and to gripe about. So, brethren, the closer we are when we get time and Christ's return, our adversary, Satan the devil, will become more motivated against us. And just for that reason alone, our tests and trials and persecutions will become more frequent. I've noticed in times past, and I think you have too, problems for God's people seem to pick up around the spring holy days. Things seem to happen just out of circumstance. Like, why did that happen? But they eased up just a little bit after the feast. I'm sure it doesn't have to ease. It's not going to ease up yet. And I don't think the ease up part is not going to happen as it used to. Too many of God's people gave up all too quickly and fell away from God's church and way of life. And perhaps, just perhaps, lost the opportunity to be in his kingdom forever. Far too many have done just that. They gave up. Some saying, I can't do this anymore. This way is too hard. Therefore, I quit. Or, I feel free from under all that burden. Their hearts and minds are closed up, for they just opened the door and allowed Satan to walk right in. You know, brethren, Satan never ever misses an opportunity to take advantage of anyone, especially God's people. Satan will never miss a chance to put some sort of stumbling block in our paths, hoping that we will trip and fall. For he is hungering for the time when we do stumble and fall, and we will. But with God's help, he'll see us through those. But Satan is waiting offstage in the wings, so to speak, waiting for us to say, ah, free at last, and slip into a do-nothing attitude and leave God's way of life. Some could never come to grips with why they were called. And now they're gone. The fellow that told me about the ham sandwich, he's no longer with us. If we begin to have doubts, we too will forget and lose faith of why we were called. Brethren, we always need to put ourselves into God's hands and continually to ask him for help and strength to press and to carry on. We can't make it on our own. Satan wants us to think that we can. He'll whisper to us, we can do it our way. You can do it your way. You don't need any help. You can rely on your own judgments. They're good enough. Moses told the people of Israel what God said he would do for them as they crossed the Jordan River. God said he would destroy the nations living in the land before them. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. Deuteronomy 31, 6. says, so be strong and courageous. Don't be afraid and do not panic before them, the other nations. For the eternal your God will personally go ahead of you. He will neither fail you nor abandon you. Fretting and dwelling on problems that surround us will not make them go away. So what in the world caused so many to give up and throw away so many years of their lives and leave? Even after they dogmatically stated, nothing will remove me from God's church and his way of life. Well, brethren, something happened. So what caused them to give up and not care anymore? Could it be their stumbling block Satan put in front of them to have? Might have been deception and doubt. Remember, having doubt equals losing faith. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 3. 2 Thessalonians 2, verses 1 through 3. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering to him, that you not soon be shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. That was a prophecy for our time, brethren, and still is. It means that there still will be a falling away from God's church. A falling away happened in the times of the New Testament church. It has happened in our time, and it's going to happen in the future before Christ returns. Brethren, what are we going to do? What are we going to do when things really, really get tough? If we don't have the faith and trust in God to help us through our trials, if we don't have that, then we're in deep trouble. We will be setting ourselves up for a tremendous, huge fall when persecution, harassment, discrimination, intimidation, torture, and even death comes upon the people of God once again. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 10. Jesus began by telling us in verse 4, to take heed that no man deceive you. In verse 5, he talks about that deception. For many shall come in my name, come in the name of Christ, saying that he is Christ, but they shall deceive many. In verse 6, he talks about wars and rumors of wars. Then he tells us in verse 7 about world wars, famines, disease outbreaks, earthquakes in different parts of the earth. Verse 8 says, all of these are just the beginning of sorrows. In other words, brethren, we'll have trials we have never faced yet. Now things really get close and personal in verse 9. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. And you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Verse 10, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another. Some, once again, when this happens, will fall away and leave the truth. The pressure and stress will be more than they can handle. It would be easier for them to go back to the ways of this world. In Matthew 24 and verse 12, says, and because iniquity or lawlessness shall abound, the love of many shall grow cold. Which brings verse 10 to come to pass, where it says, many shall be offended and shall betray one another and hate one another. Verse 13 says this, but he that shall endure, or the one who holds fast, he relies on God, and he carries on with the truth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Once again, brethren, we cannot endure all those things that will come to pass on our own. We will need not only physical strength, but spiritual strength coming from God. But that's not all we'll need. We will need more than ever in our entire lives, when these things come to pass, each other for encouragement, comfort, and support when those hard times do come upon us. We are placed here by the one who created us. Therefore, we should know who we are and where we are going. Romans 8:28 says, all things work together for good to them that love God. And I might add, depend on Him. If we are getting a little discouraged or down because of our tests and trials, let's remember how we felt in the beginning and bring back the zeal and enthusiasm, the passion and the happiness we all had when we first learned about the truth and walked in God's way of life. Two final scriptures. Revelation 3, verse 10. Revelation 3, verse 10. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I will also keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all or the whole world to test them that dwell upon the earth. James 1, verse 12. We do that. God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptations. Afterwards, they will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love Him. We are called, brethren, to endure, not to fall away. Hang on with all our might to what we have been given, because great blessings and happiness awaits all of us, all those who will never lose their calling.